Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Cheryl Fax. And thank you so much for joining me today for Faith and Life, the process of there where we encourage our faith and our process and our dear moments as we walk by faith and not by sight, as we live the Word of God out, growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We become more and more like Him. We become the light to someone else. We become the encouragement to someone else. We become that which is needed to empower someone else and also to lead someone else to Jesus Christ, to show them the demonstration and the manifestation of His love, of His goodness, of His faithfulness through our lives. So it is a blessing to be chosen by God, unlikely people that wouldn't choose to be chosen by anyone else, but chosen by God for His purpose and His plan. And when He chooses us for a destiny that we would never, ever in our lives obtain by ourselves. Through the grace of God, we triumph, we win, through His name, we live, through His power, through His spirit, through His blood, we're cleansed, we're saved, we're delivered, we're set free, and we become that which is necessary for someone else to see the manifestation and demonstration of Jesus Christ in our life. We have been studying last week and this week, this 15-minute of empowerment, of an unlikely place, a place of blessings. And this place that we're talking about is somewhere, a position where you yourself would not have chosen for yourself. You yourself would never, ever would have known or thought that God could bless you there. But He chooses this unlikely place to be the place of your blessing, the foundation of your blessing. And that chaos and that confusion, He is not the author and the finisher of it. We know that it's the enemy, but God took the platform that He can show Himself strong and mighty, and He does that through unlikely circumstances. So we thank God that He is the one who chooses even the situations to perform great and mighty things. We see this in the book of Esther. We see her in an unlikely predicament, an unlikely place, not even in the environment of her own choosing, but God has chosen this environment to be a blessing, not only to her and her family, but to her nation. And He does this by a queen rebellion and a king's vanity. And God uses it to do something wonderful in their lives. So we're going to look briefly here, and we're going to look at the book of Esther, going back to where we left off and just seeing God's demonstration and power. We're going to talk today about Mordecai. We're going to go into Mordecai a little bit, and then we're going to go back into Esther. Mordecai, too, is a person that is basically blessed by just being obedient. He is Esther's cousin, and basically because he took care of her because his parents died, and she the situation, the circumstances of where she's at, the predicament of where she's at, to change her, but she allowed God's beauty in her inner man to show even greater on the outside. She remained tender before Him. And in that tender manner, she becomes transferred from her physical child. She's being prepped. And we went over last week about the different perfumes and the oils that are needed and how God uses the cleansing process when He's getting ready to promote us in our life and get us ready for something. And we have to allow Him to do that. We have to allow Him to work on our mind, our heart, our motives, our character, our integrity, our obedience, our faith. We have to allow Him to purge us from the inside out. Where Esther was being purged from the outside in, they would use the ointments and oils and perfumes on the outside that affected the inside. God takes the inside of us through His Spirit and His Word, and He transforms us, purifies us from the inside out. So we thank God for that. But Mordecai is here, and he's basically taken over as her legal guardian, and he's basically given her everything that she needs. And he is in a predicament where he's doing this because he knows this is right and this is the will of God. And in the book of Leviticus, it talks about those who what we're supposed to do when there's not parents around, when the father dies, the eldest brother is supposed to step in, and it lets us understand how the family is supposed to continue to grow and mature and stay together as a unit, even when the necessary units are not there, but other people step in and they take up that place and they give what is necessary. It also demonstrates and lets us know that even as we as Christians may have missed some things in our life, we may not have had the father or the mother or the sister or the brother in our natural family that could give us what we need. Our family might have been in a place where it was dysfunctional in some ways, but God is so faithful that as we come to the body of Christ, he basically gives us what we missed in our earlier life, what we did not get, and he does that through the body of Christ. If we allow him, he will send someone to love us like a mother or a father, to mentor us, to be there that we can talk to and get wisdom from, or he'll send us the person that will be the sisters or the person that will be the brother, and they will give us and nurture us and stand with us, and they'll be true to us in the relationship. As they honor God and they honor us, they will basically give us what we need. So God is faithful in doing that. So whatever we lack or missed in our natural lives, God is faithful to give it to us in our spiritual walk with our spiritual family. And it may not come in the same form or the same way or even color that you think, but God is able to do that. He's able to give it to us if we allow him to. Mordecai gives Esther this amazing encouragement and wisdom, because his wisdom is shown, because even when she goes into the king's palace, he's there at the gate making sure that she's being taken care of. And he also tells her, don't reveal who you are. Don't tell who you are. And in telling who she is at the end means that she's going to go through a process that she could be possibly put to death. So at the extreme moment, that's when she reveals who she really is, not beforehand. Sometimes God will tell us not to reveal everything that we know, everything that he tells us, or everything he shows us. He does not allow us all to tell everything to everybody all the time. There's some things he wants us to hold and ponder and keep for the set time, for the right time. And so we have to learn that even in that, when God shows us or reveals something to us, or tells us something about our destiny, about our walk, or something that's getting ready to happen, we have to know when we need to say it, when we need to reveal it. We have to have that wisdom of being led by the Holy Spirit, that everything is not always expedient for us to say or do at that time. We have to walk in the wisdom of God. So she listens to Mordecai, and when she becomes queen, and this is all part of God's plan, because she was a queen before she ever was born, because God had already purposed this. He had already knew that he was going to allow someone to come in and deliver his people. We've seen this throughout the Bible. It was always done. God always allowed someone to be a deliverer unto his people, someone to come in and take up the slack or intercede or stay in the gap or to be that person that would go and be the forerunner. So she is the person that God is using at this time to be the one to save her nation. Now, there's some things that God wants to trust us with, that he wants to use us with to do something for the kingdom of God or someone else. And it might cost us. It might be something that makes us uncomfortable. It might be something that pushes us beyond our comfort zone. But are you willing to do it for the glory of God? Esther had to be pushed beyond her comfort zone so that she could save her people. She could not hide, because even in hiding, she would have been destroyed, because the enemy would have went after her because of her relationship with Mordecai. Even though she does not reveal who he is, she gives him a position as she becomes queen at the gate where all the officials met to handle the king's business. And so Mordecai was given a position that they knew he could only get by Esther. So they knew, her enemies would have known, there is a connection here. She has to be connected to him in some way, a family member, or she's a Jew. And so even that, she could not hide in the king's palace when the time came for her to stand forth and come forth with her position and her authority. So we understand that God will sometimes push us out of that comfort zone and give us what we don't ask for, so that he can get glory. Mordecai gets this position, and he's there. And the reason why Mordecai does not bow to Haman, because there is a between the two bloods, there is a
a war, basically. And this war goes all the way back down in the book of Samuel, how Haman's family, which Haman is Amorite, and Mordecai's family is from the generation of Saul. So we have this blood feud here because of basically family lineage. So it was not that Mordecai did not want to bow. It was not that he didn't want to pay homage, but he knew that Haman's, his motives were to be worshipped. And we see this later on. We'll read it later on about what he says when he goes and he brags about how he's been invited to sit down and dine with Esther and the king. He talks about the people that praise him. He talks about all this. So he was full of pride. He was very arrogant. He was very self-absorbed and selfish and wanted to be praised. And that was his whole motive. That was the reason why he went after Mordecai and the Jews, because he would not bow and he would not submit to that idol worship. He wanted to be, Haman wanted to be self-worshipped. And so he could not bow, Mordecai could not bow to that. There will be people and there will be things that you just won't be able to bow to. And other folks will never understand it. They may bow to it themselves. They may submit to it themselves. But you will never be able to, because it goes against the God in you. And you cannot apologize for that during the time that you might have to come and be questioned, or the time that you might even go through some things. Jesus even said during that time when they bring you before their kings, he says, I'll give you the words to say. And you don't have to go into a whole lot of things. He will give you what to say and what to do during that time. And when you say it and when you do it, it will be full of his power, full of his wisdom, full of his anointing, and it will not be you. It will not be you trying to tell someone off. It will be you giving information that is just, that is fair, that is right. And it will be the power and the authority of God that will back you, because you will not be saying your words, you will be saying the words of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So when those times come, look for the Holy Spirit to be that very present help. Look for him to be the instructor of your life, giving you wisdom beyond your years, revealing to you what you yourself would never know or could not say. He will give it, he will have you say it, and you will be led by him. And so when you stand against your accusers, he will be there to help you, as it was with Mordecai. Mordecai would not even bow. Even when he found out what Haman was up to, he still would not bow. He wouldn't put a sackcloth and ashes and sat at the king's gate. He sat there until he knew, because he was in sorrowful grief of what was going on, and he knew God had to act. But he did what they knew to do then, which was, in that time, it was sackcloth and ashes, and it was fasting. And so they wore sackcloth and ashes to let everyone know that they were in mourning or grief, or they were fasting, or they needed an answer, or something terrible had happened. So Mordecai received a blessing, even in his obedience unto Esther, about just taking care of her. He set something up. And so when this happens, we understand that there will be things that God will set up in our lives. There will be blessing that God sets up in our life, but there is an opposition that is going to come, and you have to be prepared for the opposition. Every blessing that you get, the enemy hates it, so he's going to show up in that time where you're celebrating, in that time where things are going well, in that time where things have turned. He's going to show up to try to wreak havoc, or to try to offset, or to make the place of your blessing try to be a curse. But you've got to know within yourself, you can't allow that to happen. You've got to know within yourself that God himself has given you this blessing, this door, this favor, this opportunity, whether it's a job, whether it's a new position, a salary increase, a blessing for your family, your children, your spouse, your business, your ministry, your career, whatever it is, a physical healing, whatever it is, giving you that. And the enemy's coming in because he wants to steal, kill, and destroy it. He wants to take that victory and make it look like something sorrowful. If it's a place finally getting triumph in an area, finally getting the home that you've been praying for, finally getting that vehicle that you needed for so long, and you finally get it, finally being able to pay off every one of your bills, and the enemy comes and tries to do something else in your life to make it look like that place of blessing is not a blessing, that it is something other than. You've got to understand that he's going to come, but you've got to be prepared for that, and you've got to understand that's not the time to run and hide. That's not the time for you to get depressed or to repent that you ever got the blessing. That is the time for you to go in the spirit realm and begin to fast and seek God and tear down the weapon of the enemy. Because if God be for us, who can be against us? If he gave us that platform, if he gave us that door and that opportunity, if he made that way, then the enemy can't steal that. We can allow him to steal that. We've got to know that God is God, and he's going to do the miraculous. I'm Pastor Cheryl Faxon, and thank you so much for joining me for Favor Life, the process of there where we walk by faith, unlock by faith. Have a blessed and wonderful day, and we'll be back again for another 15-minute in empowerment.